Photography Podcast number 27 on photography.ca, Wide Angle Lenses for September 12, 2007. Hi there, everyone. Hey, how's it going? This is Marco, and this is the 27th Photography Podcast on photography.ca, and we are recording in Montreal with my trusty mobile Zoom H4 handy recorder, and handy indeed it is. Gets me outdoors, as I mentioned before, which is something that I love. Well, today's podcast is going to be about wide-angle lenses. And I guess the backstory for today's podcast is going to be that I actually recorded a full podcast about 2 weeks ago. I was on Wolf Island doing a boys' weekend, in quotation marks, which, as most boys know, is basically an excuse to drink beer. But anyway, I got up early one morning and I recorded a podcast, a full-up podcast. And it was a podcast on wide-angle lenses, normal lenses, and telephoto lenses. And it was just too long. At the end of the day, when I listened to it, it was like 40 minutes. It was chock full of too much technical information, and I thought it was just overload. So I tried to edit the sucker the other day, and I couldn't pull out what I needed to pull out, and sometimes you just need to start again. And that's what I've decided to do now. So this podcast is dedicated to wide-angle lenses. And wide-angle lenses are amazing for several reasons. It's a great lens to have if you're a budding or amateur photographer. You know, it's one of the three lenses you want. You want a normal lens, you want a wide-angle lens, and you want a zoom or telephoto lens. But today's about wide-angle. And wide-angle is useful, especially in tight situations. So let's say you're at grandma's house, all your relatives have come over, you haven't seen them in years, you're the only one with a camera because they know you're a photographer and they want you to take a picture. Well, if grandma has a small apartment, it's going to be really difficult to get everyone in the image, especially if there's like 10 people or so. But if you have a wide angle lens, that makes it a lot easier. So, you know, you can only talk about wide if you know what normal is. So traditionally, on the SLR cameras of, let's say, 10 years ago, they would always come with this 50 millimeter lens, which is a normal lens. And what the normal lens is it gives you the normal perspective that you would see with your eyes. So if you're looking at a scene, you slap on a 50, you look through it, it basically records what your eyes are seeing. A wide angle lens pulls in the periphery. So what you see on the side, you know, if you widen your eyes and see the detail on the side, the wide angle gets that information. So it's a really good lens, as we just mentioned, for, you know, getting all the relatives at grandma's house, or if you want to get a lot of objects into a situation where there's not a lot of space, you would put on a wide angle lens. Likewise, it's also really great for wedding photographers. Let's say you're at a wedding and you want to get a picture of the bride and groom that are dancing with all their friends around them. Well, if you put a wide angle lens on, you can photograph the bride and groom pretty close. You can get pretty close to them and get them so that they look respectably large in the photo. They're not like a little speck. They look larger in the photo, but you see all their friends around them, and it's really great for wedding environments. So in those two situations especially, wide-angle lenses are amazing. Now, without getting into the physics of lenses and why they act this way, just accept the fact that wide-angle lenses keep the foreground and the background naturally sharper than other lenses, such as a zoom lens. So a zoom lens, you put it on, you take your subject in the foreground, the background naturally tends to go blurry. Whereas on a wide-angle lens, just because of the way it's made, regardless of the aperture that you're going to use, the foreground to background sharpness is going to be greater. As we mentioned on previous podcasts, if you're using a large aperture, which means a large hole and a smaller number, let's say f2 or f2.8, and you take something in your foreground, your background is going to naturally be more blurry. And this is less true with a wide angle. So even though you're at f4, let's say, or f2.8, your background is going to be sharper than it would be with a zoom lens. So that's another interesting feature about the lens, and you can use it for your advantage. So let's say you're a nature photographer, for instance, and you see this a lot in nature photography. Let's say you'll have this beautiful boulder in the foreground. You can focus on that boulder. It looms large in the photograph, but the background is also relatively sharp regardless of the aperture you use. Obviously, if you're going to use a really small aperture, f22, f32, it's going to be tack sharp. But even at smaller apertures, you know, f4, f5.6, the background is still going to be sharper than if you would use, let's say, a zoom lens. So nature photographers love wide-angle lenses. Now, wide-angle lenses come in different varieties. They come in one focal length. So let's say you bought a 24-millimeter lens or a 35-millimeter lens. That's one focal length. So you look through that lens and you're always getting the same focal length. So you can move closer or farther, but you're always looking through one focal length. You can also get them with that cover a range of focal lengths. So, you know, 16 to 35 is a popular one, or, you know, 10 to 20 is an ultra wide, and those cover ranges. So you can, you know, zoom the barrel in or out or move the barrel left or right, and that way you pull the scene forward or push the scene further away, and they're very, very handy. So you can get them in either of those two varieties. Now, sometimes when you buy a wide-angle lens, if you look at the barrel, it'll say something like f4 to f5.6. And then on some other lenses, it'll just say f4 or f2.8. What's the difference? Well, very quickly, the difference is that, you know, especially if you're covering a range where it's, let's say, you know, 16 to 35, sometimes when you turn the barrel, it'll change f-stops. And those are cheaper lenses than the fixed f-stops. And basically what happens is the f-stop changes depending on the focal length you're looking at. Now, both lenses are good, and they're both pretty sharp. And for the budding photographer or the semi-professional photographer, you could save yourself quite a bit of money if you go with, you know, a variable f-stop range. The pros want to use a fixed f-stop and typically a fast f-stop because, especially in low-light situations, the image that you're going to see in your viewfinder is brighter. And also in low light situations, you'll need less light to expose the photograph, and this is often of use to pros. So if you have the budget, you know, if money doesn't matter, go for the, the fixed f-stop, and you always have a faster lens that way, or generally you have a faster lens that way. But if a budget is a concern, you know, you can go for variable f-stops, and the quality is going to be, you know, very good, very high quality. Modern lenses from any of the main manufacturers are really, really good. So, you know, do your research on your lenses, but, you know, if you're deciding between fixed and variable, if you're just a budding photographer, you can really go for variable, if people suggest that the reviews are good. Do some research. I have a bit of both. Some of my lenses are fixed and some of them are variable. Another aspect of wide-angle lenses which you need to know is the aspect of distortion. So again, without getting into lens physics and things like that, wide-angle lenses distort things that are very close to them. And you'll notice this especially with portraits. If you take a wide-angled portrait really close to the person, it's going to distort their face. And of course, I'm putting up pictures on the blog for people to see. And they don't generally take flattering portraits. They take interesting portraits, but they're rarely flattering. So, you know, I'm a fine art kind of guy. I love to use this lens for portraits. But if you're trying to get, you know, shape fidelity, you know, get the shape of someone's face and head, you're not going to want to use a wide-angle lens, especially from close. You know, if you're further away and you get a group, there's way less distortion. But if you're really close to an object, whatever the object is, a person, a rock, flower, whatever it is, the wide-angle lens is going to distort the shape. It's going to make things close to the camera really, really large, and it's going to make things farther away smaller, and the perspective is not going to be real. It's going to distort the perspective as well. It's going to distort the ratio of distance. It's going to distort things when you take them really, really close to the camera. Of course, you could use this to good effect and to make cool photos, but distortion is a fact of life with wide-angle lenses, with most wide-angle lenses anyway, almost all of them. So you want to be careful of that if you are taking a portrait. So let's say it's the only lens you have on your camera and you need to take the shot and you need to get really, really close to the person because you want them to be a nice size. You got to be aware that it's going to distort somewhat that person in the photograph. And that, I guess, is going to be the third aspect of wide-angle lenses that I guess that we're going to cover for today. So in terms of the shots that I took for this podcast, I actually took some dried-up roses, and I went into one of my favorite spots not far from where I live, and there's water there and rocks there, and I'm actually recording the podcast here now, so I just took these photos not long ago. And basically, I took some dried-up roses, and I put them within the muck and the rock that is in this area at this time of year. And I got really, really close to the flowers, really close, like inches away from the flowers. So even though you may not be able to tell that from the shot, I was literally 3 inches from these flowers for most of the shots. And you can also see a fair amount of background. So like, try and put a normal lens and get 3 inches from an object. You're not going to get any other detail. That object is pretty much going to fill the frame. But the wide angle lens pulls in the periphery, so you see a lot of detail, even though you're just a few inches from your main subject. So anywho, I got really close to the flowers and I shot them. And you're going to notice that although it's not tack sharp from foreground to background, because I didn't use the smallest f-stop possible for all the shots, you're going to see that there's still a very good degree of sharpness from foreground to background, which, as we discussed previously, is one of the facets of wide-angle lenses. And then another shot that I took, I actually took this on Boys Weekend, and I took this of a good friend of mine, Dave, and you're going to see how seriously his head is distorted, because again, I took this picture from above, literally inches from his head, and you know, his head is enormous and totally misshapen, and you'll see the rest of his body is pretty small. So it's a cool shot, but not as flattering as had I, you know, used a portrait lens on him, which is typically a longer lens, and got some good lighting on him. This was just more for the effect of the wide angle lens, and he's graciously allowed me to use his photo for the podcast. And the third photo that I'm putting up actually is a photograph that I took of my wife years ago. This is another portrait, but because I wasn't as close as I was to Dave, you'll notice that her face is not as distorted. There is some slight distortion in it, you'll notice. It just doesn't, something is a little bit off with regard to the perspective, but because I pulled back a bit more, you're going to notice that it's not as distorted. So you can use wide angles to take a portrait if you need to. You just need to be aware that depending on how close you are, there will be some type of distortion. So to wrap up, wide angle lenses, they're amazing. You need to know that they're great in tight spaces, that they keep the foreground and the background relatively sharp in relation to other lenses, and that they do distort things that are very close to the lens. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. That's going to be it for me today. And I have loads of ideas coming up and loads of podcasts already scheduled. So keep on listening and feel free to give me your suggestions. All right, everyone, keep on shooting. Bye for now. And that was our podcast on wide-angle lenses. I sure hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can comment directly on the blog, photography.ca/blog. You can comment in the forum by making your way to the forums on photography.ca, or you can just email me directly, photography.ca@gmail.com. I'd like very much to thank Safran and Darren J and Kevin for their really kind comments that they left us since the last podcast. It's so appreciated, the comments. And in fact, Darren J, I believe it was, suggested that I do a podcast on how to pose models and things like that. And you know what? That podcast is coming up either next or the one after next. And the suggestion was really appreciated. So as always, please leave more suggestions. It's the best way to make this podcast as good as it can be. So feel free to leave me any suggestions, comments, or criticisms. As always, you can subscribe for free via iTunes. Just click the button on the front page of the blog, and you can also subscribe via Google Reader or any other podcatcher of your choice. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We shall be back very shortly, and until then, keep on shooting. Bye for now.